Good morning. This is Pastor Darren Waldrop welcoming you to another Back to Bethel radio broadcast. I just wanted to thank each one of you for listening faithfully each and every week. I want to invite you to attend the house of God. Make sure and find a good church to attend each Sunday morning and Sunday evening and Wednesday nights. If you do not have a home church, we invite you to attend with us at Bethel. We begin Sunday school at 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings, followed by worship service at 11 and an evening service at 6 p.m. on Sundays. We also would like to take the time to invite you to our Wednesday evening service, which begins at 7 o'clock. And we also have an Awana program for ages 0 through 18, which begins at 6:30 each Wednesday night. Thank you so much. Now for the broadcast. Hope you enjoy the message today. If you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 9. I would like to begin reading this morning in verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you've given us the privilege of being in your house on this, the Lord's day. And I pray, Father, this morning that you would lead us and you would guide us into all truth. Father, I pray that you would take this people, you would encourage their heart, you would open your word to them, you would speak to them by your Spirit. Lord, I pray this morning that you'd fill me this morning with the Holy Ghost power to declare boldly the precepts and the truths of the Word of God. Father, I ask this morning that you would help us to preach, and I pray this morning, Father, that you would help us, Lord, to respond to your voice in a spirit of obedience. Thank you this morning for the Word of God. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. In the book of Jeremiah, Israel has been given numerous opportunities to know the Lord, but they refused those opportunities. They took for granted to know the Lord. We know the Lord. We don't even need his prophesying. We don't need his messages. We don't need to hear from him because we already know who the Lord is. And so they spurned, they took for granted, they rejected, they refused the opportunities God gave them to know more about him. Israel has become dependent, relying upon self, rather than relying upon the Lord God Almighty. I want to say three things about their strength in knowing the Lord. First of all, he is superior to human perception. Verse 23, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Israel and the Jews of that day believed that their intelligence was superior to what they needed from the Lord. In other words, they reasoned that when Jeremiah prophesied that calamity was coming, they reasoned that he was a calamity howler and they didn't need to get right with God, that they were very smart and if anything did happen, they could get out of it. Look back at chapter 8, at verse number 8. The scripture says, how do you say, we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly in vain he made it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord and what wisdom is in them. Now they believe that their wisdom was superior to God and they rejected or they denied the word of God. What are we doing in our nation with the word of God in our schools? What are we doing with the word of God in our government? What are we doing with the Word of God? Nowadays, the Gideons, the Bibles they used to place, are being taken out of motel after motel. Go to St. Louis, go to Penn State University. You'll see them taking the Word of God out. It is because America has said, we're too wise for this. We ought to be open to anything and everything. We're smarter than God. The Bible still says in Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. They were operating in direct disobedience to the Lord God Almighty. And if you're not careful, you'll take for granted that you have a Bible at your house and that you know the Lord. They are living in disobedience to the Lord God Almighty. Now, we must be reminded this morning that the brain trust in Washington is not our strength. We must be reminded this morning that our strength is not in what is taught in our secular colleges and universities. Our strength is in the Lord God Almighty, and we must never, ever forget that truth this morning. Please understand that they believed that it was okay for them to live any way they want to. Again, the psalmist wrote in Psalm 9:7, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." Human wisdom, human intellect, human reasoning, it will fail us. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:19, the wisdom of this world is foolishness unto God. He said in James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. Please understand that we live in a day filled with knowledge. Do you agree? I mean, there's cell phones and there's computers and all these things in a day filled with knowledge. There's a 17-year-old girl. She's considered to be a phenom. She took the SAT. She made a perfect score. She went to take the California Admissions Acceptance Index test, which is very rigorous. She again made a perfect score. The teacher said that she had an uncanny ability to remember everything that she read. The teacher said that she had an unquenchable thirst for knowledge. They asked this young girl, "What is the meaning of life?" And she replied, "I have no idea. I'd like to know myself." After all the things that she knows that are unimportant, the one thing that she needs to know and know more of is about the Lord, and she has no idea. I want to say this morning that the strength of the Lord, the strength of knowing the Lord, is superior to human wisdom. It is superior to human perception. It is, number two, superior to human power. Neither, look with me, Jeremiah 9, verse 23, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. They believed they were so powerful that they could avoid the calamities that Jeremiah preached about. Please understand this morning that our strength is not in our missile defense system. Our strength, oh no, it's not in a nuclear warhead. Our strength is in the power of our God this morning. Do you know it would take a minimal move of God to ruin this nation? Completely wipe us out. We must realize this morning that any power we have, it comes from the Lord to start with. He said in the book of Zechariah, chapter 4, verse number 6, "Not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord." What is power? It's individual strength. What is might? It is collective strength. I'm telling you, you individually, you do not have the power, amen, to be able to do anything. We are at best weak. And you bring all of us together, as talented, as strong as you are, as we all come together, there is no strength in us. We are inept and feeble and corrupt at best. Our strength is in knowing the Lord, and that is superior to human perception. That is superior to human power, and it is also superior to human possessions. He says, "Let not the rich man glory in his riches."
understand this morning, our strength's not in Wall Street. Our strength is not in the stock market. Israel was very rich. They placed their confidence in wealth. They placed their confidence in accounts and what they had. Understand this morning, I am, this is the way they thought, I am what I own. Oh, Lord, have mercy. If I'm that, I own absolutely nothing. Amen. Please understand, God, hear me, God is not impressed with how much money you have. God is not impressed with the lands that you have. If you think that God's approval on your life is captured by blessings, you've missed the mark. They mistook the blessings of God, the material possessions that God gave to them, as God's approval on their life. Please understand that Jeremiah prophesied in the days of King Josiah, who was a great king that led the nation to a time of reformation. I would like to say revival, but it wasn't really revival. It was a time of reformation. The people returned to the house of God. They began to worship again. They renovated the house of God, upgraded it. Amen. God was blessing there in a mighty way. But let me tell you what, Josiah, when he died and moved off the scene, a few kings later, we come to Zedekiah, and he says, listen, keep worshiping God at his house, but it's okay to go worship other gods and take care and place yourself as an equal with God and still do all these other things. And that's when Nebuchadnezzar came into the picture and took Babylon's forces and carried Jerusalem away 70 years into captivity. And it was because they decided that their power, their possessions, and their perception was superior to knowing the Lord. Yes, we know there's a God. Yes, we know that His favor's upon us, but they refused Him. And it's going on in our nation. You may be smart. You may be strong. You may be successful. But when compared to the Lord, you have nothing to glory or to brag about whatsoever. He says in Proverbs 23, verse 5, "Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings and fly as an eagle unto the heavens." Listen this morning, friend. The Lord is superior to all the things that we have. There's strength in knowing the Lord. Number two, I want us to see the salvation of knowing the Lord. Verse 24. "But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me." Hey, to know God means that you know His person. You know His worth, His wonder, His worship. You know who He is. You know about His attributes. You know about His character. It's a personal knowledge of God because God is a personal God. Amen. Listen this morning. He's a God of great compassion. He says, "I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness." Now listen how great He is. He's a God of great compassion. King David, who was supposedly a man after God's own heart, slipped off into an adulterous relationship. And for that, the word of God said he was to be stoned. But God in His compassion was willing. When David got down and said in Psalm 51:1, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." Hey, the Lord loved him and forgave him of his sins. You understand this morning that we're all sinners and all have come short of the glory of God. And it is the loving kindness, the compassion of an almighty God. Hey, I want to say this morning to you, Jesus loves you. Oh, preacher, I already know that. Hey, do you love him? Huh? Jesus loves you. And do you love him? Let me tell you what he did. He sent his son to die for you. Beaten, humiliated, sacrificed upon that cross that you and I as a bunch of old wretched sinners might be set free in the loving kindness of an almighty God. He is a God of compassion that he would forgive you and I and save our souls through the death of his son Jesus Christ upon a cross. He's a God of great compassion. Lamentations 3:22 says this, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Preacher Darren, what's loving kindness? It is a steadfast love. It is an unfailing devotion. It is merciful affection at work. He's a God of great compassion. Do you know him? Do you know the salvation of the Lord? Do you know the compassion and the mercy of an almighty God? Say amen if you do. Amen. Lord, I just want to know you. I want to know about your loving kindness, about your compassions. He goes on to say, I am the Lord which exercise judgment. He's a God of great correction. Now, you know what the Bible says the word reprove is? It is to point out a fault. Now, some of us better than that than others. We can point out fault all day long. But when God points out fault with reproof, he points out fault with an intention to bring correction. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had an injustice committed against you? Three people. I mean, I'll ask that question again. Have you ever had an injustice committed against you? That's a little better. I want to say this morning, have you ever been wronged? Some of you may say, I don't know what an injustice is. Have you ever been wronged? Three more people have been wronged. Well, I want to say this to you, for those of you that's been wronged, one day God's going to make every wrong right. He's a God of judgment. He's going to right every wrong that's ever been done. Let me say this to you. Have you ever committed a wrong? As he evaluates that, don't you know that if we'd have come to him and said, Lord, would you forgive me? In his loving kindness, he would forgive us, blot it out, never bring it up against us anymore. Oh, thanks be to God for his righteous judgments, amen, in the which he forgave us. Hey, there's a judgment coming one day. For those of you that are here under the sound of my voice, listening to my way of radio or CD this morning or on the internet, if you've never been saved, there's a judgment day that's coming. Hear me, there's a day, man, in which your soul will be required of you, and you will stand by yourself before a thrice holy God. How will you answer? How will you plead? Will you deny him? Will you reject him? I seen a situation this week I marveled at. Somebody who was so defiant. Somebody who is so intolerant of an almighty God. I mean, he was defiant, disobedient, directly defying the Lord God Almighty. And I asked my wife, I said, do you believe when he stands before God, he'll look at God and say, I don't believe in you. I reject you. I refuse you. God won't even hear it. God will just say, depart from me. And he's gone. There's a day of judgment that's coming. You better be prepared for it. You may say, you're just like old Jeremiah, preacher. You're a calamity howler. Well, when he said 70 years of captivity's coming, guess what happened? Off they went. Just like the man of God said, because they rejected, because they refused the opportunity to know the Lord. Look on with me. The salvation of knowing the Lord is we know of his great compassion. We know of his great correction. Hey, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. He goes on to say, I am the Lord which exercise righteousness. Righteousness, what is that? Oh, he's a God of great character. He's never done wrong. He's always been there to do right. Ah, praise God. We can know him through his word. We can know him through prayer. We can know him by his Holy Spirit. He is a righteous and a holy God. And I bless his holy name this morning. I like what he says in Romans 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hey, because God is righteous, he's not going to slip somebody in the back door that didn't come by the way of the blood, by the way of the cross of Jesus Christ. He's going to treat you and your neighbor. He's going to treat every one of us, even your enemy, the same. He's a righteous God. There's a salvation in knowing him. Do you know him? Number three, and I'm done. There's a satisfaction that comes from knowing the Lord. Oh, I like this part. He says, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. I want to say two things about that, and I'm done. I believe in this satisfaction found in knowing the Lord. First of all, I see a beautiful picture. Did you realize that you delight God when you desire to know him? It is pleasing to God when you come and say, Lord, I just want to know more about you. Lord, I'm thankful to be saved, and I'm thankful to have a relationship that I can pray and seek your face. But Lord, I just want to know more about you. Hey, you remember when you started dating that old gal, sir? You started dating her. You knew who she was. She was beautiful. You got her to go out with you. I don't know what you had to do to get it done, but you got it done. Y'all started going out. You wanted to know more about her, know more about her, and finally you got her to marry her. And then probably you said, I wish I'd have never done that. Wrong. Listen, hear me. When we have a relationship with God and we get saved, it doesn't stop there. It just started. That relationship is a beautiful picture, and it grows fragrantly every day. Hey, if you're not closer to the Lord now than the day you got saved, you backslid. Now, wait a minute, preacher. I refuse that. Go ahead. Israel refused Jeremiah's preaching as well. You hear me? We need to know more about the Lord. We should have a greater desire than we've ever had for him. Amen. Let me go on. The Bible not only tells us about this beautiful picture, how it pleases the Lord for us to know him, but then there's a blessed precept in it. And this is where I want to anchor and I'm done. Did you understand that no amount of education, no amount of riches, no amount of power and influence is going to guarantee the blessing of God in your life? You realize that God is not delighted in your secular learning. He's not delighted in your influence. He's not delighted in your power. He's not delighted in your success. He's not delighted in your ability. That's not what delights him. Preacher, I just want to be pleasing the Lord. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So what does that mean? Preacher Darren, how can I please him if I'm doing all these things and a career and a house and a family? Listen, he delights in people who fear him and who faithfully follow him because they do know him. Oftentimes in places I go where people are unfaithful, it's often because they don't know him. Oh, they know of him, but they don't know him. And they have no desire to know more of him. That's a sobering question today. Oftentimes you'll sit down to eat, you'll get mashed taters, green beans, country fried steak, buttermilk biscuits, and a big old glass of sweet tea. Hallelujah to God. You'll eat and eat and eat, and your belly will get completely swelled up and full, and you'll push back and say, I hope the preacher don't preach on gluttony today, until they bring out that pie. You're like, oh, I think I could get some of that dessert. I think I could stand a bite or two. And the next thing you know, it was so scrumptious and so tasty. When you look back at your plate, you was getting ready to gnaw on it because all the food was gone off of it. And after all you ate in just a couple of hours, you'll come back and say, you know, I'm hungry again. I want to get something more to eat because what I ate earlier, oh, it was a blessing. It nourished me, but I want more. Come on, preacher. Come on. The way I'm looking at you right now physically, you're doing right well. But if God opened our spiritual eyes, you'd be skin and bone, scrawny, puny. I want to know more about him. You realize he's a creator God? He's the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He's a God that appeared to Moses in a burning bush. He's a God led his children through the wilderness, crossed them over the Red Sea there, in the wilderness, through the wilderness, crossed the Jordan River. He's a God took care of his people. I'm telling you this morning, he's a wellspring of wisdom. He's the one when the three Hebrew children got in the fire, there he was. He this morning is the captain of the conquerors. He is the master of the mighty men. He is the Lord of lords, and he is the King of kings. He is the roadway of righteousness. He is the pathway of peace. He is our God. Do you know him? Do you want to know more about him? Well, I'm going to tell you this morning, he's not forsaken you. I was right over here and he said, let me tell you something, son. I have never forsaken you. I've never failed you. When the enemy came against you, I never fled. Though you wanted to run, I stayed with you every step of the way. I always was, I am, and I always will be. And when you desire to know me, my delight is in that. When you're hurting, then I'll heal you. When you're down, I'll help you. When you're praying, I will hear you because you want to know me. He's everything for everybody, everywhere, every time, and every way. This morning, I want to ask you a question, church, and it's critical to your doing business with him. Do you know him? Yeah, I know him. Do you know his compassion? Do you know his correction? Do you know his divine character? Are you pleasing to him? Do you see that beautiful picture of a relationship between you and him? Is it maturing? Is it growing? Or is it festering? Are you refusing? Are you rejecting? Preacher Darren, I'm trying to do every single thing that I know to do. Oh, let me tell you, that's a pleasure to him. When you're doing all you know to do to get to know him, that's a pleasure to him.